I was reading a story recently about a couple who had celebrated 65 years of marriage. It was written by one of their children, and she talked about the faithfulness of her parents. And one of the things that stood out is this statement here that I wanted to read to you. She said this, that faithfulness didn't always look neat, nice, and clean. They went through many changes over their 65 years of marriage. Job changes, family growing changes, changes from being unbelievers to discovering new life in Christ together, changes in homes, changes in interests, changes in health. Some of those changes were filled with excitement and some were heavy with heartache. Some of those changes were their choice and other changes were forced upon them. But one thing never changed, their partner. They remained faithful to each other in all of this. And as impressive as that is, and of course it is very wonderful, there is another faithfulness that goes much deeper than even this, and we find it expressed in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. This reflects one of the most cherished themes in the Bible, the faithfulness of God. This is what it says, because of the Lord's great love for us, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You might be wondering why there's a loaf of bread in that picture up there. And it's because when I was in Armenia many years ago, in the year 2000, I think, there was a little bakery over there just down the street. They had little bakeries everywhere, I guess. And every morning they had fresh bread out there. And when I read the scriptures about how God's faithfulness is new every morning, it always brings to mind that fresh loaf of bread. So I thought I would include that in there. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What a beautiful passage that is for us this morning. So this morning, I'd like for us to focus on this concept about the faithfulness of God. But in order for us to do that, first of all, we need to realize that there's a huge difference between the way we understand faithfulness and the understanding that God has when he speaks about faithfulness. They are not the same thing. When we talk about faithfulness, we might not say it too much out loud, but our underlying belief is that faithfulness is a reciprocal event. In other words, I will be faithful to you just as so long as you are faithful to me. I am here for you. I will stick with you just so long as you are here for me and will stick with me. You see, in human relationships, faithfulness often becomes little more than an unwritten understanding between two parties, kind of like an unwritten contract that is valid only so long as you keep your end. We remain faithful to someone in expectation and often on the condition that they will remain faithful to us. And if for some reason they don't prove themselves faithful to us after a period of time, well, all bets are off. We see that. We see that in life. We see that in relationships. We often see it in the breakup of relationships, right? when somebody hasn't been faithful. We're willing to be faithful just so long as the other person is as well. And so that's why I say for us, faithfulness is often reciprocal. Or, to put it another way, it is often conditional. And when we take that kind of understanding of faithfulness and transfer it over to our relationship with God or God's relationship with us, that's when we run into trouble. When we agree to be faithful to God just so long as He is faithful to us in our understanding of what that means, then we run into problems. We don't say it often, but this is what we often think. God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be the kind of person you want me to be, but you need to keep your end of the bargain as well. And then we make up our own terms of what God's end of the bargain is for us, what our expectations are. For example, we might say, you need to watch over me. You need to protect me. You need to provide for me, etc., etc. You need to make sure that I don't get sick. You need to make sure my loved ones don't get sick. You need to make sure that nothing bad happens to anyone in my family. You need to make sure that I prosper financially. You need to make sure, and then I will remain faithful to you. And if that's the kind of understanding we have of faithfulness, it's not going to go very far, because sooner or later something goes wrong. And something bad happens. Eventually, someone gets sick. Someone loses a job. Someone runs into some serious crisis. And if that's what our understanding of faithfulness is, then all of a sudden we begin to wonder what's up with God. What's wrong with Him? Why didn't He come through? Why isn't He doing what I think He ought to be doing? What happened to His faithfulness? And if that's not bad enough, it's right around then that the enemy comes along and whispers in your ears, if God isn't being faithful to you, why are you being faithful to Him? So this morning, I thought it was important for us to consider what it actually means when we say God is faithful. How do we know God is faithful? What does that look like? And perhaps most importantly, why is it that sometimes we don't feel His faithfulness, at least not in the way that we would expect it to be? The truth is, we all have expectations of what it means for God to be faithful. We've heard stories of God, how God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We certainly know how David overcame Goliath. We see Joshua leading the people without any fear because God was with him. We see story after story in the Bible of how God protected and provided and proved His faithfulness. But the truth is, we have selective hearing. We only take note of certain events in the Bible that we like and we would like God to duplicate for us, when in reality there's many other situations where God's faithfulness came in an entirely different way. So when trouble comes or difficulty comes, which it does, when hearts break, when loss is incurred, if that's what we expect, then we begin to wonder if God really is faithful. We ask, if God is faithful, why do I struggle so much? If God is faithful, why did someone get sick? If God is faithful, why am I all alone? why aren't things getting better? And of course, the age-old question, what's taking God so long? It would surely be nice if we could see things the way God sees them and have answers to all of this. And I'm sure that question has been asked many times before. What is taking God so long? We want God to respond on our terms. You see, for us, faithfulness is a reciprocal event. As long as we're doing something that God wants us to do, we expect God is going to return things the way we think he should and when we think he should. But his timing is entirely different than our own. His understanding of things is entirely different from our own. One of the favorite biblical passages for many people, and I love it too, is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Scripture says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What a beautiful verse that is. It is so meaningful. It is so true. And I'm glad we should hang our lives on such a powerful passage. But what people don't often realize is that the plans that God had for them, the plans that he would give them a hope and a future, were 70 years down the road. It wasn't for tomorrow or this afternoon. God, I want that good plans you have for me today. And I can understand that, believe me, I can. But God says he has plans, a hope, a future, but it wasn't for today or tomorrow. In this particular case, it was, well, you got to wait 70 years. Not only are you waiting, you're being taken into exile, into Babylon. You're going to be living among people that you don't know and in a language that you aren't familiar with and a people and customs and strangers and all of that. And so while it is absolutely a beautiful verse, but we sometimes take it out of context and we think that God's plans are going to be beautiful for me this afternoon, if not this morning. Well, his plans are beautiful. They are. But his timing is sometimes a little different than what we would want. And so we wait. The Israelites waited 400 years in Egypt before God responded and sent Moses to them. All that to say is if we're expecting God to be faithful based on our timeline, then we stand a good chance of being disappointed and maybe even giving up on God. You see, to me, that isn't faithfulness. That's just striking up a bargain. God, I'll trust you so long as you take care of what I need. But as I said, I don't believe that's faithfulness. Scripture says, if you love those who love you, what have you accomplished? If you are faithful just so long as you get what you want, is that really faithfulness? Now, you might think that this isn't very fair. You might be sitting there or listening in online and saying, Norman, you're asking too much. You're not realistic. Come on. What are you saying? You want me to offer God unconditional faithfulness, even if he takes 70 years to respond? You know how old I'll be then? You want me to offer unconditional faithfulness to God, even if my health deteriorates or my loved ones fall sick? Even if there's absolutely no light at the end of the tunnel hasn't even been dug yet. And I would say yes. I would say yes, absolutely, 100%. Is it easy? No. No, nobody said it will be easy. But anything short of that is not really faithfulness. It's simply an exchange. But friends, I have some really, really good news to share. And that is that we would not want this any other way. You might think, well, how? I really don't like what you're saying to start with. Well, here's the key. It's this: because the same kind of wild, relentless, unconditional faithfulness that we are called to have towards God, that is the same kind of wild, relentless, unconditional faithfulness that God already has towards us. And boy, do we ever need it. We talk about God, you know, taking so long, and God, you know, meeting your end of this deal, and God's looking at us and saying, man, you're falling so far short, but I'm still there for you. I still love you. And so just like God calls us to be faithful, even when we don't see the results we're looking for, the good news is that God is already faithful to us, even when we don't give him the results that he deserves. In other words, he is faithful to us no matter what, even when we are not faithful to him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. It is his nature. God's faithfulness towards us, and this is the key, his faithfulness towards us is not the conditional kind that we often have. It's always there, and it's always sure, and it will never dissipate. What a fabulous truth for all those who believe. God is and always will be faithful. Amen? To put it another way, there is nothing that is going to stop Jesus from loving you. No matter how much you have failed or I have failed, no matter how much we fall short, no matter how much we may disappoint God, God will never stop loving you. Regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done, regardless of how many times you've failed, his love for you, his faithfulness towards you, will never fail. And so this is what it boils down to. This is what the important part of all of this. It doesn't mean that God is satisfied with our past. It doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to our choices. But what it means is he will still love you. What it means is he has not written you off. The enemy, on the other hand, well, he will always want to destroy you. He will remind you of every failure you've ever had. He will tell you that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you anymore. He will tell you that there is no hope, that you might as well give up. The enemy seeks to destroy. He is a liar. But God's word is true. God's word contains truth. I read these verses at the end of last Sunday's service, and I'd like to read them for us again this morning. Paul, writing to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, where he says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, and I might like to add there, and the faithfulness of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Faithfulness to God is unconditional. Often for us, it is reciprocal. He will never stop loving you. He is always ready to forgive, and he is longing to restore. If we would come to him, if we would seek him, if we would call out to him. And my encouragement for you this morning is simply that God is indeed faithful, not simply in terms of an exchange that we might like to think, but his faithfulness transcends all of that. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always have his arms open for you if we would come to him. To close with a scripture from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to you again this morning, and Lord, we recognize just how much you have loved us, and Lord, how your faithfulness to us is so much more than simply taking care of this or taking care of that. But Lord, your faithfulness to us is much deeper and wider and stronger and more meaningful, Lord God. And I pray this morning, Lord, for any who might be struggling today. Maybe they've gone through so much difficulty either in themselves or a loved one or a situation, and they've called out to you and they've called out to you again and again, and they are waiting and they are waiting. And Lord God, I pray that in your time, Lord, that you would show yourself to them to be faithful, Lord. We know you are. I pray, Father God, for grace, for strength, for the weary, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you would restore hope this morning for those who are perhaps feeling that there is no hope left in them. I pray, Father God, that you would give strength to those who are weary today, Lord God. Father God, I pray that your own presence would come upon us in such a mighty way that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that you are with us, that you are holding us, that your love will sustain us, even when we don't know how the future is going to go. We have no idea how it's going to work out. Some of it will be rough, for sure. But Lord God, we know that you are with us. Father God, give us that faith. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Lord, even when we are faithless, you still have faith in us. And Lord, I pray that we may do the same today. Bless each one, Lord God. Help us to turn our eyes to you, to look to you, to trust in you, to receive from you, Lord, your grace, your love, your hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.